Hey guys, it's Annette. On March 20th at 7 o'clock, The Y is doing a live show right here at WHYY. We're going to be talking about the sound of Philadelphia. It's the city's own musical legacy. I'm super excited about this because this is the music I grew up on. So we're going to have a live band, and you can see how the show gets made. So if you visit whyy.org/events, you can sign up and it's all free. Okay, here's the show. We've had Democratic presidential primaries in Iowa, New Hampshire, and Nevada. The voters in those states have already helped cut 29 candidates down to 8.
These first few states have such huge influence in deciding who actually gets on the ballot to run for president.
But what about states like Pennsylvania and New Jersey, which are a lot more diverse than the early voting states? Their primaries don't start until the end of April and the beginning of June.
It can mean that the election is over a lot of times by the time they get to go to the poll, and they're just kind of rubber stamping a decision that has been made by some of these early states.
Why don't Pennsylvania and New Jersey have a bigger say in who wins the primaries? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Y. Jonathan Tamari covers national politics for the Philadelphia Inquirer, including the 2020 presidential election. I asked him when he started to wonder why states have their primaries when they do.
Well, for me, I'll tell you, it came up the day after the Iowa caucuses.
And there is still some indecision, apparently, in Iowa. We are still waiting for the results. Hours after the caucuses, the Democratic candidates still don't have a winner.
Really is a chaotic situation there. There is no official timeline to even get those results. We're just really waiting.
I was in a diner in Des Moines the next day trying to find a story to write about the fact that we had inconclusive results. There's been a lot of criticism of Iowa for a number of reasons, of it being the first state to go, both the way they count their votes, the fact that the state is much whiter than the country as a whole, is very rural, so it doesn't necessarily reflect more urban areas, more suburban areas. So I'm in a diner and people are talking about why Iowa shouldn't go first, and to me it just came up that Pennsylvania is a place that represents a lot of the country in many ways. You've got two really big, diverse cities. You've got very populated suburban areas. You've got these vast rural areas. You've got very deep blue liberal areas, very conservative areas. It's a state that elects both Democrats and Republicans statewide. A diverse economy, from tech to white-collar jobs to blue-collar jobs and agriculture. And so to me, it just captures so much of the country in one place that it seems like a pretty good measuring stick.
And what about demographics? What about the racial makeup?
So Pennsylvania is certainly a lot closer to the United States as a whole than Iowa is and New Hampshire is. There are some differences still. Pennsylvania's older than the U.S. as a whole. It's more white. It has a significantly smaller Hispanic population as a percentage compared to the country as a whole. But it still does have more diversity than some of these early states, and particularly on the Democratic side of things. The website 538, which really focuses on data, did a comparison of the Democratic electorate nationally against the Democratic electorate in each state. And Pennsylvania was the sixth closest match to the national Democratic electorate. And so obviously ranks pretty highly. And New Jersey was actually second when it comes to their Democratic electorate and how it matches up to the national Democratic electorate. I mean, it's a very diverse state that has large populations of all kinds of nationalities, languages spoken at home. And I believe they might actually be among the last group of states that cast their votes in the primary. So New Jersey, a lot of people go there to raise money. They don't really go there very much for votes.
This is former Governor Richard Cody. We were always one of the largest suppliers of money for elections, for people who run for president, whether Republican or Democratic. And it never really worked out that well for us because they would come in for an hour and a half or so to get our money and leave.
And so after the 2004 race that was pretty competitive, a number of Democrats made a push to move up New Jersey's primary.
If you're not early, you're nothing.
And then New Jersey came back in 2008 under Dick Cody, who was a Senate president and at times a governor as well. And they made a push to move New Jersey to early February in order to have more say, in order to have these candidates coming to the state and needing their votes before the election was effectively decided. So the state did move up for the 2008 election.
And how did that earlier voting work for New Jersey?
Well, it meant that they were still in the mix when there was this historic race between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, which really set the Democratic Party on fire. It was a ton of interest in those two candidates competing with each other. Dick Cody, he felt that the political leaders in the state got a lot more attention from the folks running for president in the campaigns as they tried to rack up support in New Jersey ahead of that early primary. But at the same time, if half the country, or roughly half the country, is voting on one day, you're still not getting that level of attention that the Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada are when they're kind of standalone states very early in the process.
When did they move it back to the June date?
So after Governor Cody left office and Governor Christie, a number of years later, became the governor, he made a push to move the state back to towards the end of June. And there were two reasons given for this. The one is that they had moved only their presidential primary up. So that meant they had to run two elections, one primary for president and one primary for all the other offices in New Jersey that people run for. And so that meant an extra $10 million roughly of spending to put on that extra election. And secondly, Christie argued that by going last, New Jersey could kind of be that last tiebreaker at the end if it was a really close race, although we really rarely get to that point. But in any case, under his administration, they moved back, and once again, New Jersey is at the back of the pack.
Is anybody calling for Pennsylvania to move its date up?
There are. And in fact, in Philadelphia, the chairman of the Democratic Party there, Bob Brady, former congressman, is someone who does wish that Pennsylvania had an earlier primary.
Because you want to be relevant. I've been the chairman of the party for 34 years now, and we've never been relevant. And by the time it comes to us, you know, we're voting for somebody that's already a nominee.
There have been pushes throughout the years to do it. Governor Rendell in the early 2000s called for moving the primary up. There have been bills introduced in the state legislature over time to move the primary up. And in fact, there's one pending right now that passed the Senate in January unanimously. It would move the primary into March. It's pending in the House, and so we don't know yet if that's going to go forward or not. Now, even though some people want that attention and they want to be in the mix when it comes to these presidential races, there have been arguments against it.
More on that when we come back.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall, talking to Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Jonathan Tamari about how late New Jersey and Pennsylvania are in the presidential primary process. Given the demographics and how close it aligns with the country nationally, should Pennsylvania have a bigger say earlier?
Well, when you talk to political experts and folks that have worked on these primaries for a long time, they say that actually Pennsylvania's size and its vastness kind of works against it. I spoke to an expert named Josh Putnam, who focuses on primaries and delegate math. And he pointed out that both parties really like to have these small states go first. And when you consider the size here, Pennsylvania has about 13 million people in it. Iowa has 3 million. New Hampshire has less than 2 million. And the reason is that in those smaller states, you can get pretty far with retail politics, with public events where candidates are forced to go face to face with voters and answer questions.
To shake hands, kiss babies, talk policy in a way that allows voters to get to know them. in a way that they wouldn't necessarily be able to in larger states or on a day when a bunch of states are all going at the same time.
Whereas in a really big state like Pennsylvania, you've got to spend money on television in order to reach a significant amount of the electorate. And that gives a huge advantage to the campaigns that start with resources if Pennsylvania was to go first. Whereas in Iowa, Nevada, South Carolina, you can get by with grassroots campaigning and allow yourself to build your campaign in a way where you don't need a ton of money to go on TV.
But allows them something of an even playing field.
And we've seen that in this election with Pete Buttigieg, the former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, who started with a pretty small platform as the mayor of a small Midwestern city and ended up finishing in first place in Iowa and is now a national contender.
Well, I did want to talk to you about Iowa because, as you mentioned, you covered the Iowa caucuses. And I just want to know how you saw those kinds of, you know, grassroots kitchen table politics play out.
Yeah, so one of my very first trips to Iowa was last February when I was following Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey during his initial campaign swing out there. And he would just be doing event after event after event all over the state. And I remember one night, it was late, it was freezing, and his very last event was at somebody's house. And, you know, I'm ushered into the kitchen, and there's a tray of cookies on the table. There's kids' artwork on the wall. There's, you know.
You're like, I'm in somebody's house.
Yeah, I am. And I don't know whose it is. I have no idea whose it is. There's, you know, there's pizza coupons on the refrigerator. And in the next room is a U.S. senator who maybe could be the future president of the United States, just talking to a room full of people.
Hmm.
I spoke to a woman who was at that event who has been doing the Iowa caucuses for decades. And she was like, yeah, this is how it works. And, you know, by the end of this, if he really is a contender, you know, he'll probably have to run the vacuum in someone's house at some point. You know, now he didn't last quite as long as all that, but that gives you a sense of the kind of intimate campaigning that does happen there because it's not a campaign that's played out on television.
So Pennsylvania's primary is in late April. Will it even matter by then?
Pennsylvania, at the end of this, will have a say in the next president. In fact, it may ultimately be one of the three or four most important states in deciding who wins this election. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida. You talk to people in both parties, those are the first four states they talk about for the general election. So as far as the primary, it's not clear yet if by the time Pennsylvania votes, there will be a clear nominee or not. The way things are going so far, it looks like it could still be competitive. But even if it's not, Pennsylvania will see a lot of the candidates of President Trump and whoever the Democratic nominee is this fall.
So Pennsylvania will be needed.
It will be needed. It will be viable.
Eventually.
Yes, it will be very needed. In fact, I think by the end of the election, folks might wish they were needed a little less by the time they see all the ads that are coming.
And poor New Jersey, Jonathan. They're not a swing state, so they're not going to get any love, right, in the end?
They're not. And it's hard for me to say. I am a Jersey boy, born and bred in New Jersey. So, you know, I think that more of the country should take their lead from New Jersey, if you ask me. But unfortunately, it doesn't necessarily come through the presidential election.
Jonathan, thanks so much for explaining this to us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Philadelphia Inquirer political reporter Jonathan Tamari. Pennsylvania's primary is April 28th, and New Jersey's is June 2nd. There's still time to register to vote in both states. The Y is produced by Shai Ben-Yaakov, Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Buffy Gorilla, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Our intern is Kelly Brennan. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. I'm Annette John Hall. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.